Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we have a few less people here this Sunday than normal. Maybe that's because it's Labor Day weekend and people are off and other places going to Mass. I don't think, maybe, hopefully it's not just because we're having such an exacting gospel, such a demanding gospel today. But it is a demanding gospel, isn't it? Jesus is telling us what it's going to cost us in order to be disciples. It's going to cost us everything, right? It costs us all that we are to be a disciple. And that's what he wants us to focus on today. What is the cost of discipleship, of being a follower of Jesus? Now, we know what our salvation costs Jesus, right? We all know this because it's right here in the front of our church. Every time we walk in, we're confronted with a crucifix. Many of us wear it around our necks or upon our arms. It's all over the place when we walk into the entrances of our homes, right? It cost him his very death, his last drop of blood. That's what our salvation cost. But he offers it as a free gift to each of us, doesn't he? We don't have to pay him anything for our salvation. He says, here, have it, receive it, take it. But anytime anybody gives us a gift, it always costs us something, doesn't it? We have to receive it in some way. We have to go out and give it. Jesus paid the price of our salvation by dying his death, which we deserve for our sins. But it costs Jesus something, but he offers to us it free of charge. All we have to do is lay hold of it, right? Now, I've got something here. A little trick up my sleeve. I've got a $5 bill right here. Does anybody want it? Does anybody want this? Nobody wants a $5 bill? Not even my little guys? Not even Evan? Nobody wants it. That's really sad. Something free, and nobody wants it. Why don't you want it? Because it costs something, and you don't want to pay that price. Because you know that when I offer you this money right here, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, okay, we'll come up and get it. And you don't want to come up and get it, right? You'll be too embarrassed. Well, see, that's a free gift. That's just like Christ's salvation, which he offers to each of us. All we have to do is lay hold of it to bring it into our possession. If we're too embarrassed to do so, then we're not going to get it. If the cost is too much for us, then we're not going to make that step. All we have to do is receive it. I want to tell you a story about when I was a little kid, a real, real small little kid. You know, my parents took me out to visit an aunt or uncle that lived off in Arizona in the wilderness. You know, I'd never gotten to really spend time with them. In fact, it was so different from New Mexico. It had beautiful grasses that surrounded it. It was in the middle of nowhere. Beautiful desert grasses and these little sagebrush plants that were everywhere. These yucca plants that were smaller than the ones that were in front of my house. Never seen these things before. These copious amounts of pad cactuses. You know, those ones that are really good to eat with some of our Mexican food, right? She had those all over the place. And being an adventurous little boy, I just wanted to go explore everything, to see these things that I never get to see in the part of Albuquerque where I grew up. So eventually, my mom said, hey, why don't you guys just sort of go and explore for a little bit? I was so excited. I was so excited to be able to go and do this. Well, they sat in the shade, sipping sweet tea, watching us from a distance. They let us climb up the hill that was behind the house. Now, there's a problem because I'm not the most agile of little kids there. I wasn't always the most sure-footed of them. But I went and explored and exploring. Eventually, what happened is my foot struck a rock. And I fell backward onto my tush. And that shouldn't be a problem, right? Because if you're going to fall, isn't that exactly where you need to fall? God gave you a lot of padding back there, so when you fall, it doesn't hurt, right? Well, I didn't fall in some really soft dirt. I fell right on top of a couple pad cactuses. Ouch! The little boy was screaming. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Mommy! As the tears ran down my face. It was a horrible experience. And at that, what happened? My mom booked it up that hill. I've never seen her run so fast. She made it up to that hill and got me, rescued me. But as you know, even the sweetness of a mother's kisses aren't enough to heal the wounds of 1,000 of those little prickly things in my backside. Have you ever experienced that, falling on a cactus, by the way? Let me tell you what it feels like. It feels like 1,000 flaming knives thrust into you where the sun don't shine. It's not a pretty feeling, okay? It hurt really bad. By the time they got me back to the house, the pain was sort of used. I was used to it. So it didn't hurt that much. It was just a nagging, stinging feeling. But it didn't stop there. You see, my mom had to do something. She had to remove and tweeze out each and every one of those things from my backside. To my pleading, saying, Mom, no, don't do it. It hurts so much. Mom, I don't want it. Just leave them there. Mom didn't leave them there because she loves me that much. Think of how much more it hurt her to pull those out despite my pleas than it hurt me. But my pain didn't end there. What happened next is that what Mom had to do is after that, I thought all the pain was over, she flipped me over and applied to me hydrogen peroxide, rubbed it in, rubbing alcohol and rubbed it in, and new waves of pain washed over the entirety of my little body. It was horrible. Eventually, things got better. Yes, the next day I was able to sit down with at least a modicum of comfort. But what's the point? What's the point of the story? You see, when I received that healing, in order to receive any sort of healing from my body, it cost me something, didn't it? It cost me going through that excruciating pain of each one being tweezed out of my backside. Each time the new wave of pain washed over me as the hydrogen peroxide or the alcohol, that cost me something to get healing. It cost me that in order to receive healing into my body. Those are all painful remedies, but they're the necessary remedies to get health. That's what it cost. If I was going to receive the gift of salvation, if we are going to do that, what does it cost us? It costs us, just like everything else in life, it costs us an openness to receive that healing, to receive that touch of God within our lives. But salvation, what does it cost us? It costs Jesus' life, but so too, it's going to cost each and every one of us our lives too. Really what it costs us. Salvation costs us our will. It costs us our ability or our right to do whatever the heck it is we want to do on our own. It costs us giving up that will to abide by God's will. You see, in the gospel, what is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about here that what? That we have to hate our mom and our dad. That we have to hate our wife, our spouse, and our children. That we have to hate even our very lives in order to love God well, to really be his disciple, to obtain salvation. That's a hard teaching. I'll give you a pop quiz real quick. Three really easy questions, okay? Three easy questions. I just want you to rattle them off for me, okay? What are the answers? What is the fourth commandment? El cuarto mandamiento. What is it? Honor your father and mother. Okay, everybody's saying it. That's right. Okay, what is the first and greatest commandment that Jesus gives us? Amar Dios. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, your everything. And what's the second commandment that is like it? That's right. You shall love your neighbor as your very life. So Jesus is teaching us this, right? That we got to honor our father and mother. That we got to love God above all things. And we got to love our neighbor even as we love our own lives. So if Jesus is saying that, what does it mean to hate all these things? What is he actually talking about? Well, I tell you, it's a Semitic saying, a Semitic way of going about things. He's speaking in hyperbole. That's a big word, right? Hyperbole means he's saying something extreme so that it gets our attention and begins to move us in the direction we need to go. So what is he really saying? Is he saying that we got to hate our family if we're actually going to follow Christ? In a sense, yes. Really what he's saying, I have to love God so much beyond every other kind of love in order to be his disciple. But does that love mean that I'm not going to love my family? That I'm not going to love my friends? That I'm not even going to love my own life? No. What Jesus says is that if we give ourselves in total love to him, as he gives himself in total love to us, that we're going to be able to love these things even more. We're going to be able to love our family, our wife, our brothers and our sisters, all those in the world more. Because we're not going to love them with our own love. We're going to begin to love them with the love that Jesus Christ gives and places within us. That's what he's really calling us to. That's what it means to hate all these things in lieu of him. It means to love God so much that he is able to love these things greater in us, and we are to love them greater in him. That's all that our Lord is talking about within our gospel, of really loving him above all things. It means that we're going to give ourselves more easily to each other and endure suffering on behalf of each other, just as Christ endured suffering for our salvation. So we get back to the theme, right? What is the cost of discipleship? What is the cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it cost you to follow Jesus? Does it cost you anything? Sometimes people think that if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to be a real disciple of him, all we got to do is make sure we get our butts in the pews on Sundays. We got to make it to Mass on Sundays. Then we got to check our watches and make sure Father's not making this thing take too long and start tapping on it so he knows that he's got to pick it up. So that we can get out of here as quickly as possible and then get on with our real lives, right? Is that what being a disciple is about? Is it? That's how we think sometimes. We think that going to Mass is like taking out an insurance policy, like we're going out there to visit Steve and get some car insurance. So just in case something happens, we're covered. But that's not what discipleship is. That's not what it's like to be a real disciple of Christ. What it means to be a disciple of Christ is to give up everything and give it to God. Period. Give it all up. What did we talk about 2 weeks ago in the gospel? The gate is narrow that leads to salvation. And few are they who even find where it is. So we have to strive over and over again to enter into that gate, to make ourselves ready, to train ourselves to do so. These aren't Father Burnaby's words. These are Jesus' words. This is the gospel. So what does discipleship look like then, right? What does it look like to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Remember last week what we talked about? We talked about prayer. So prayer is necessary for a disciple. It means that we have to spend our time. It's going to cost us our time to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In the morning, we enter into prayer with him, conversation in the evening, and all throughout. Then we spend our time getting to know him, that he can spend his time pouring out his love and his mercy in us to help us along the way. But the second thing that we need to do is it costs us is our sin, our sinfulness. It costs us giving up our selfishness to God so that he can take care of that for us. It means we have to let go of doing things our way and beginning to take on what it is that God's way is, to listen to him. That's what it means to be in obedience. Obedience means to listen to God and to do what he asks for. Do you know the theme song of those who are on their way to destruction, on their way to hell is? It's that great old Blue Eyes song. I did it my way. But what is the hymn of those who are on their way to salvation? Those who are on their way to salvation, they sing, I will follow him. follow him wherever he may go. Because there isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high it can sweep me away from his love. For he is my destiny. That is what those hymns are. So if we are going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we've got to give up our selfishness and obey. Now, does anybody know what 2 days ago, what day of the week was 2 days ago? Today's Sunday, so what does that mean 2 days ago was? Friday! Friday is an awesome day. It's my favorite day of the entire week. What do we do as Catholics on Fridays? Why is a Friday special to us? Nobody knows? Somos católicos? Pero nian sabe? First Friday was this Friday, but what is every Friday a remembrance of? The cross. The Good Friday. When Christ gave up his life for our salvation. And so what do we do as Catholics every Friday? We don't eat meat. Do you know that? On Fridays, we don't eat meat. Why? Because Jesus' carne, his flesh was torn. So we don't have any torn flesh. We abstain from that on that day in lieu of his love for us. We focus only on the flesh of Christ, not on the flesh that fills our bellies. That's what we do. Every time. Nothing has changed in hundreds of years. Catholics don't eat meat on Fridays. It's a hard thing to do. Very simple. Did you eat meat on Fridays? Did you do that? Did you obey God and not eat mass? Did you fast on a Friday? You and I, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, what it's going to do is it's going to cost us doing our own thing, listening to Christ and his church, and doing what they say. When you follow Jesus, do you do what he asks you to do? Let me tell you a story. When I was on my way back from Montana, remember I went there a couple weeks ago. I was delayed in Salt Lake City for 5 hours. I was stranded out there. So what I did is I called a friend up and said, hey, I'm stranded. Could you do something for me? Could you help me out? So he said, yeah, let's go out to eat. So they picked me up at the airport, took me downtown to some really fine restaurants. It was amazing. It's amazing. And so what I did was I looked at the restaurant, the menu, and I said, oh, these are so many great things, but it's Friday. So I just ordered that one little fish thing that, it was all right. It was all right on the plate, but, you know, so I just ordered that. But they had a feast of meat delights. Oh, they were so good. Smelled so great. And they said, hey, Father, would you like some? And it just filled me with great delight. He said, oh, it's going to taste so good. It's just going to melt in my mouth. I've never seen anything like this. Oh, it's going to be so great. But it's Friday. And I'm Catholic. And that means I can't do this. God, why do you hate me? Why do you treat me so poorly? I'm never going to have an opportunity to eat this again. I'm never going to be taken to a nice restaurant like this. God, why? But I want to love you. So I didn't eat anything. Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to do what God asks us to do. But that's the cost of discipleship, isn't it? The cost of discipleship is his will, not my will. When you follow Jesus, do you follow your will? Or do you follow your own will? Do you do what he tells you to do, or do you just do what you want to do? When God says, you can't sin, you can't divorce and remarry, you can't get drunk on purpose, you can't miss Mass on Sundays, you can't vote for a pro-abortion politician, what do? Do you just say, hey, God, that's nice. You love me, God, don't you? We're good friends. You're going to take care of me, right? I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, but I know you're just going to take care of me anyway. You're going to make sure I go to heaven because you love me so much, I'm so great. Is that how you react? Because saying that isn't punching your ticket to heaven. Actually, that's making sure you go in the opposite direction by rebelling against it. So does discipleship cost you anything? Or does it cost you your will? When you're told by God and by his church to do something, do you do it with joy and gladness in your life, or do you not? Being a disciple is going to cost your will. You know, Jesus, when he was meeting with his disciples, he gave them a tough teaching, and St. Peter came up to him and he said, hey, look, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. We've given up all these things. What is our reward going to be? You know what Jesus said to him? He said, brothers, look, I've got your back. There's not a single person who has given up father or mother, husband or wife or children, who has given up lands or anything within this world, who will not receive 1,000 times more in this present life. Plus, he's going to get persecution. But in the next life, he will have eternal life, the life which does not end to be with me. We have to ask ourselves, what is the cost of discipleship? And what are the rewards? Discipleship is going to cost you everything. You are going to have to give it all to God. But because if we give Jesus our everything, what does he do? He returns it all to us in a way where we can enjoy it even more. He expands our ability to receive. So brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give up meat on Fridays, a silly thing. Your sinful relationships, those hangovers that hurt anyway, or those sleepy Sundays that just waste away everything, or even your ill-conceived political candidates. Don't be afraid to give those things up. Give it all to Jesus, because he's given it all for you. What does it cost you to be a disciple? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.